I guess it's unusual. I've done it several times before. Let me get this. We're going to go back to Hosea this morning and maybe say some of the same things. I don't know. Sometimes I think we as God's people, we get a little callous to the preaching, to the Word of God. And sometimes the commotion's so that I wonder if the Lord can work like He needs to. And my, it ought to be a sober time if the man of God has God's message. It's really God sending you a message. And you say, well, I've always known that, but sometimes we don't act that way. And I guess sometimes the preacher don't preach that way. I guess it's serious business when God's trying to communicate to His people. He's trying to send you a message for the hour. That's pretty sober. And I really feel like, I don't know, I really don't know what much more of what I'm going to say than I did, than I've already said, but I'm going to read again and we're going to try to go through this again. The Bible says in Hosea chapter number 1, verse number 1, the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea the son of Beeri in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam the son of Joash, king of Israel. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived, and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass at that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel, and she conceived again, by her daughter, and God said unto him, call her name Loruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Loruhami, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Loami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your presence this morning. I thank you for that breath of heaven that passed by here and refreshed our souls for just a few minutes. And I ask you, Lord, some way to anoint me today and help me to preach in power and demonstration of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that's all. That's all I'm interested in, is being obedient to you and preaching what you want and preaching in power. And Lord, please use it to help your people. You know we're needy people. You look across this congregation, see how needy we are. Would you please help us, Lord? Please do the work in our lives that needs doing. There's a sinner in our midst. Would you speak to them? Oh, Father, would you please speak to them before they go to that awful place called hell and deal with their hearts and draw them to you? Lord, if there's a saint that's wayward, that's backslidden, Lord, if there's one that's just cold and indifferent on you, help us, Father. Do a work in their lives. Have your way. Please help me. If there's anything that would hinder your working, the working of the Holy Spirit, refrain it. And Lord, please be glorified in Jesus' precious name. I do pray. Amen and amen. Well, as the book opens, I'm going to get straight to the message. And maybe I can get peace on this in my heart when I unload it this morning. As the book opens, God's speaking to Hosea, the preacher, the prophet. And he instructs him to preach. I'm going to use a word, a phrase that I read. He instructs him to preach an action sermon. He's going to preach a sermon in actions. And my, we would think it would be a very difficult message to preach. He tells Hosea that he wants him to go down and take a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. And so I'm sure at the first Hosea may have struggled with that a little bit. And I just want to say this again. Sometimes the Lord gives us a difficult assignment. Sometimes the work of the Lord's not easy. Sometimes it even will bring a little confusion to our hearts and lives. And so I think that might have been where Hosea was at. And I think the problem was this. The people were dull to verbal preaching. I really believe they were dull. I'm convinced that God had other men that were preaching, judgment's coming, judgment's coming, judgment's coming. And I think they just got dull to that. And God's going to go a step farther, and he's going to preach this message through actions. I want to say this, you ought to be careful what you do with preaching. I could take you over to Acts 17, I believe it is, where it talks about the Athenians. Some mocked, some said, some procrastinated, we'll wait till another day, but others believed, and that's the right response. We need to be careful what our response to the preaching of the Word of God is. And I'm afraid sometimes we hear and we hear and we hear and we just let it roll off our backs and our hearts gets hard to the preaching of God's Word. And I believe that may be where Israel was at. I just suspect that. And so God's going to another step. He desires that we hear His Word. Now, I'm looking at a congregation today, and really, I don't know how much you know. I don't know how smart you are on the Word of God. I don't know how many messages you've took into your heart, made part of your life. I don't know that, but I do know this. God wants you to hear His message and His Word and allow it to do a work in your life. I'm comfortable with that. And so here he is, and he's still trying to speak to these people. Judgment's coming. I mean, judgment's coming, and God has sent a man to tell them that and let them know, but it's just not working. And so he sends an action message. And so the message Hosea is declaring is really God's message. My, you better get a hold of that. And I'll be the first to say, I'm sure that I miss God's message many times, but there's a few times I have a word from the Lord. And you better be, you better, if you're really seeking to be what you ought to be with God, you better let the Word of God work and move and do in your life what the Holy Spirit wants to do. You better get that. And so here he is. God instructed Hosea. And here's what he said to Hosea. Take you a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. And then he compares Hosea and his wife of whoredoms to himself and to Israel. You see it right there. He compares Hosea to God. And he compares Gomer to Israel. And so he's making a lesson. He's sending a lesson. He's developing a message for the nation Israel. And so the Lord says to Hosea, go take your wife of whoredoms. That's all he knows. At that point, he knows he's going to have a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. He knows that. He does not know what he's supposed to name them at this point. He does not know what the future holds. He doesn't know if once she goes into whoredom that she'll ever come back. He doesn't know any of that. All he knows is what God's told him, to marry a wife of whoredoms. And I said this last week, Hosea did not argue. He did not disobey. He did not procrastinate. It appears that God had given him a true love for Gomer. And can I say, he married her. And that's a picture of God to us. God looked upon us. There was no good in us. There was no cleanliness in us. There was no faithfulness in us. We did not love God, but He loved us. He loved us and sent His Son and came where we was. And even though we was unlovable, He loved us. And we see that in this story. We see that little truth right there. My, that stirs my soul to know there's a God in heaven that loves me, Brother Bud, to use your word, unconditionally. Amen. Well, here he is. This is all Hosea knows. He doesn't argue, doesn't disobey, doesn't procrastinate. God gives him, I'm convinced, a love for. And so he marries her, and it seems like the marriage is going good. They have a blissful relationship. Verse number 3, things are going well. As with many marriages, down the road, Gomer conceives, and she bears Hosea a child. And God's getting ready to preach this action message a little more. And he says to Hosea, he needs to be named Jezreel. That word Jezreel has a twofold meaning. It means scattered, or it means to sow. Basically the same hand motion. Scattering or to sow. And so he's saying to the nation Israel, I'm getting ready to scatter you. I'm getting ready to scatter you across this globe, across this earth. And so we see that in verse number 4. And I want you to notice what he says in verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. He said, not now, but in a little while, judgment's coming. I want to say to you, we still serve a God that judges sin. You may sin. It may look like you're getting by. It may seem like everything's going good, and I'm sitting in the catbird seat. Everything's going good. But I want to say to you, somewhere down the road, if you don't get it under the blood, judgment and chastisement's coming your way. Sure as I'm standing here, I want to say to you today, America's under the judgment of God. That's right. They won't listen. America won't listen. They won't listen to the man of God. They won't listen to the truth today. They've hewn them out of way. They've hewed them out cisterns that'll hold no water. And I'm telling you, they're getting by now, but judgment's coming down the way. Sure as I'm standing here. Oh, we see here, he said, a little while. I'm going to avenge the blood of Jezreel. And you know the story. Old Jehu killed all Ahab's children. Then he killed Ahaziah. That's the king of Judah. And killed, I don't know, a great part of his family. And slew them. And innocent blood. And God, by the way, God doesn't forget innocent blood. You just study that innocent blood through the Word of God. He always avenges innocent blood. It always happens. That fears me because we've shed since 1973. Is it Roe versus Wade? Was that the case? We've shed millions and millions of innocent babies' blood. Can I tell you, God's keeping a record of that. One of these days, somebody, America's not going to get by. I don't know how to tell it no other way. And I'd like to give you just a message of hope, and we can stand in the gap and hold off the judgment of God. But I don't see many folk wanting to stand in the gap anymore. We can't keep judgment away. It's coming. We might hold it off for a generation or two. We'll serve God and live for Him. My, one of these days, all that fun stuff's going to be serious. That's right. You think God can take Israel and scatter them because, hey, what are you going to do when they come after your children, your grandchildren? They tell you, you can't worship God. We're going to shut the churches. Oh, preacher, you're overreacting. You're just trying to scare us. I'm telling you, it happened to Israel, and it can happen to America today. That's right. Somebody better wake up. There's no fear of God. There's no fear. In this room right now, there's people say, that won't happen. I don't fear God. God ain't going to do that to America. He did it to Israel. Why do you think if He'd do it to the nation Israel, why do you think He wouldn't do it to us today? Well, it seems the Lord is still trying to get their attention. Lord's still trying to get America's attention today. He still is. You can say what you want, but all these disasters, I believe it's God trying to speak to us. I believe that. Say, God wouldn't do that. God does do that. He just gives us a little taste of judgment. He gives a little taste. He'll throw a little judgment at us, and hopefully we'll repent. If we won't repent, it'll get a little more intense. I could say a lot on that. But here He is, and He's trying to send a message. And they had a child. It seemed the relationship was blissful. And they had a child, Jezreel, which means to scatter. And so God's sending His messenger with warning. That's what's going on in this text. I think we can make it personal. I always like to make the Scriptures personal. We can't make personal application. I wonder sometimes where we're at. This message could be for you. God told me to preach this again this morning. Preach it. You going to get up and preach the same message? I may preach it next Sunday morning. I don't know. God said preach this again. I just want to tell you, God won't overlook sin in your life. You can repent. You can get it under the blood. You can deal with it, or God will whip the britches off of you. And yet, you know, I say that lie, you think, well, just the whipping, that'll be it. No, when God whips you, He whips you where it hurts. It's been two times. I want to be sure and stay on my text. I won't get through this morning, but it's been twice God's chasing me in my life. One time it was for about 10 or 15 years that I suffered the chastening hand of God. I ain't ever told anybody that, but I suffered chastening hand of God. When He whips you, He whips you. You better fear God. You better have fear of God. All our blessings, all our good things, everything we have, it's come from God. Without God, we'll be in miserable shape. Well, here He is, and judgment's coming. They're just blowing it off, if I could say it that way, just a joke. He said, name me first one, Jezreel. God's going to scatter you. Then it comes on down. Doesn't say the second child is His. Just says she had a child. Says the first one is His, but the next one, they had a child. They called her, in verse number 6, Lo Ruhami. It means no mercy, no pity. No love. One writer said it, the implication was had no father to love her. I don't know if that's so or not, but that's what the word means. And it says in the last part of that verse, for I name her Lo Ruhami, for I will have no more For I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. I'll utterly take them away. But you know, anytime God pronounces judgment, usually there's a little glimmer of hope somewhere. There's a glimmer of hope. I see verse number 7. Here's some of God's people and the judgment of God falling all around them. And they get mercy. They get mercy, Brother Bud. God's judging Israel for their adultery. But these two little old tribes down there make up Judah. Little old nothing nation by the world standards. Just two little tribes. Israel at least had 10 tribes. God's wearing Israel out. There's little Judah. She's going to take her whooping after a while. But right now, God's showing her mercy. Aren't you glad for mercy? Amen. Well, I say hallelujah for the mercy of God. You know what mercy is? Not getting what you deserve. I'm sure glad God's not giving me what I deserve. I'm sure thankful for the mercy and the goodness and the grace of God upon my life. Thank God we serve a God of mercy today. In fact, that's why he's talking to Israel. He'd like to get them to repent, but they're not going to have it. Verse number 8, and when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she considered and bare a son. God speaks up again. And this action sermon says, I want you to name him Lo-Ami. You're not my people, and I'll not be your God. God said, I'm just not going to be a God to you. I'm going to ask you when you pray. You're just not going to be able to enjoy the benefits of me because you've turned from me. I'm not preaching you lose your salvation. You can't lose it. We know that. Israel's God's people. We're going to see that. For a little while there, they lost the privileges of the sonship that they should have had. And so he sends them a message, verses 1 through 9. He sends them an action message. And we could look at verse 10 to 11, but I'm going to go on to chapter number 2. And it's as if God's still speaking to them. And he says this in verse number 2, say unto your brethren, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruhamah. Here's what he's saying, no more Lo-Ami. Lo-Ami means not my people. No, Lo-Ruhamah means not pitied. When you take the low off, it means my people, and it means pitied. Here's what I think he's saying. He's saying that there's some that are his people. And he's saying there's some that are pitied, and they are loved, but they have a job to do. Here's what he's saying. I'm bringing judgment, but say unto Ami, my people, and say unto your sisters, plural, and your brethren, plural, Ruhami. Here's what I want you to say to them. Plead with your mother. The mother being a picture of Israel. A mother being a picture of those apostate or backslidden or whatever word I need to use. Nation of Israel. Here's what those who were his people and loved of him were to do. They were to plead with your mother, the nation of Israel. They had a job to do. They had a work to do. They were to plead. They were to plead. They wasn't to demand. They wasn't to preach. They wasn't to whatever you want to say. They were to plead. Plead. Plead with the nation. Notice what it says. It's almost the statement. Plead with your mother. Plead. The word is mentioned twice. Plead with. I want to ask you this. How long has it been since you have pled with sinners? I'm not talking about, bless God, if you don't get right, you're going to die and go to hell. Bless God, but you just, with tears streaming down your face, you just pled with them to get right with God. Here's what he said, plead with Israel, plead. My, we ought to be a pleading people instead of a not caring people. We're at the place where God's people get sideways on God. Sinners all around us dying, going to hell. We just live life. Not even tore up, doesn't affect. Something's wrong with our hearts, church. I'll tell you what God's people ought to do. They ought to fall on an altar somewhere and say, "Oh God, my heart's not right. I can't shed tears for sinners. I'm cold and hard and unconcerned and caught up in my life. God, my heart's not right. Help me. Give me a heart that I can plead with sinners." Here's what he said to the Amish, the Ruhamish, the loved, and the people of God. Plead with your nation. Plead with your mother, Israel. Plead, for she's not my wife. Neither am I her husband. Here's what he's saying. Our relationship's not right. I'm making practical. I know this is prophetical. I understand that. I'm just making practical application for you. Here's what he said. You need to plead with them because they're not right with me. Let me ask you in this room today. How many of you is right with God? If I was to say this, we're going to take a vote. We're going to raise our hand, then we're going to check in with heaven, see how many of you is telling us the truth. And so you had to tell the truth. How many of you could raise your hand and say, "As far as I know, preacher, I'm right. I'm right with God. My relationship's what it ought to be. We're in a rightful relationship, me and the Lord." Could you say that today? My, that's where she was. Well, what's the answer? Who's at fault? What do you do? The relationship's not right. She is not my wife, neither am I her husband. And then he doesn't say, "Hey, I need to do this." God doesn't say, "Hey, it's on my part. Hey, I'm sideways. It's me. I should have done this for him. I didn't know it wasn't God's fault." But here's what he said. Let her, verse number 2, chapter 2, let her therefore put away her whoredoms. Let her put away some things. I want to ask you this morning, really, would you be honest with me and say this, "Preacher, there's some things I need to put out of my life. There's some things I need to put away. I know I'm saved, but there's some things I need to put away. Get them out of my life." You know what it says? It says more than just put them away. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight. Here's what he said. Get it so far away you can't see it. Get it far enough away that you don't look at it and you're tempted by it. Get it out of your sight. Put those things away. How many of you would say that, "Preacher, there's some things I just need out of my life. I need them out of the way. Oh my, they're hindering my relationship. They've kept me from being what I ought to be for the glory of God." That's where they're at. Here's what he said. Let her, chapter 2, verse 2, let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight. Then notice this. And her adulteries from between her breast. You know what's right here? The heart. That's right. That's something she's holding real close. Nation Israel's holding real close to her heart. I want to ask you, what are you holding close to your heart this morning? I'm serious with you. This is serious business. This is God. Hey, if I've got God's message, this is God talking to you. It's not just another message. It's not just a preacher trying to fill the pulpit on Sunday morning. It's God trying to communicate to His people. Here's what He said. Put some things away out of sight. And as if that isn't enough, He said, take them things that's close to your heart and get them out of the way. Oh my. You start talking about them things we love, it gets serious, doesn't it? That's where it's hard, isn't it? Oh, I love that. Oh, preacher, I love that. That's close to my heart. I'll tell you, if anything's closer to your heart than the Lord is, you're not right with God. Amen. Well, amen. Well, here's what he says to Israel. He says, you need to tell them that's right to plead with Israel because they're not in the right relationship with me. It's not my fault, it's their fault. There's some things they need to put out of their sight, and there's some things they need to get away from their heart. And Mike, can I tell you, I'll guarantee you in a congregation this size, there's some people that fall in that category. Right here in this room today, there's some people that'll get some things out of their sight and away from their heart. And you can say amen or oh me or I don't believe it, preacher. I'll guarantee you that's so. I'll guarantee you that to be so. There's things in this congregation that God, that you hold close to your heart, God's displeased with, and there's things that you ought to put out of your life and get them out of your sight. Sure as the world. God don't just preach messages. He don't just give me messages to preach, just to fill the air with noise. Well, let's go on. Plead with you. Plead. Verse 2. Plead with your mother. Plead. It's almost as if God's pleading with them. For she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight and her adulteries from between her breasts. Then the Lord says this, Lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day that she was born and make her as a wilderness, set her as a dry land, slay her with thirst. We start looking at some things that the Lord says He's going to do. Number one, He's going to make her naked. I'm going to make Israel naked. I'm going to show everybody her the embarrassments of her life or lifestyle. We'll make her naked. He said this, I'm going to make her a wilderness, unproductive. They had all, it was an agri society, if we could say it that way. I don't even know if that's a word, but agriculture was a big thing of the society. He said, I'm just going to make it a wilderness. Take away their agriculture and their prosperity. I'm going to strip them off naked and let people gaze at them and embarrass them. Shame. He said, I'm going to make it a dry land where there's no water. Can you imagine? No water, no real life. Thirsty, longing for something to drink. My, that's what he said, but as bad as those are, can I tell you, our blessings come from the Lord. Everything you have of any value, it come from above. Well, you might value your looks. You might value your intellect. You might value your education. You might value your personality or your house or your things. Can I tell you, all good things come from God. You don't have any good things unless it comes from God. That's right. And can I say this? He can take them away as fast as He gives them to you. That's right. He can take them away. Here's what He was. Here's what He said. I'm going to make you naked. Make you a wilderness. I'm going to make you a dry land. And in verse number 4 is the saddest one of all. This is the one that just broke my heart when I read it and started meditating on it. And he said this in verse 4, and I will not have mercy upon her children, for they be children of whoredoms. Because of their disobedience, he said this, I'm not going to show any mercy to their children. That's sad. That's sad. Disobedience in this case. And I think it's a practical application. Can rob your children God's mercy. My, that's sober. That ought to sober up every mom and daddy that has children at home. That ought to sober you up. Your disobedience, your idolatry. Really, what this is about is idolatry. The Bible calls idolatry whoredom. It's taking your love for God and giving it to another God. Here's what he's saying. He's saying you're going to affect your children. Isn't that so? I saw a statistic, you know, it's been years ago, and it took a family tree, and it showed this fellow was a bootlegger and a drunk, and then this other fellow was a preacher. They might have been brothers. I don't remember, but it's been so long ago, and it traced them all down. And just what you think, this guy lived for the Lord. Through his family tree, there was preachers and deacons, and that was the point of the whole thing they showed. And over here it showed all the wickedness that was going on. And you say, preacher, I know the children don't pay for the sins of the father. I know the Bible says that. But can I tell you, parents, you'll influence your children. You'll influence your children. You can be sure about that. You play loose with God, they'll play loose with God. Good chance they will. There's a few that escape. You're dedicated, you're sincere, you're right, you're training them right, you're doing right. Hey, there's a good chance. God said, train them up in the way you'd have them to go. When they're old, they'll not depart. You say, preacher, that's just a good little thought. I'm telling you, I believe God will honor His Word. Amen. You're half-hearted, unfaithful to church. I'm going to tell you, you're going to bring that upon your children. And I'm going to tell you, I think you can rob the mercy of God from your children. You can argue with me if you want to, and I ain't going to argue. If you think I'm wrong, you just think I'm wrong. All you want. I'd show you a man right now, he'd give his life to God. I can't show you, he's dead and gone. Give his life to God, spend his whole life. I really could use my dad as an example. He'd drive, first church he pastored, 45 miles. We had a 59 Buick with big flared rear fenders. And it was like an army tank. And you can imagine what kind of gas it drunk. And he'd get like $12 for the morning service. Nothing for the evening service on Wednesday night, $13. Of course, they're just poor people. They hadn't laid hold to tithing. I guess that's why they're as poor as they was. They hadn't ever learned to give God His part. Didn't have nothing. But you know, I believe God blessed us three boys because of His sacrifice. Well, all three. I'm not bragging. I don't even like people to know it. We're all three college graduates. And one of my brothers, they've all got good jobs, doing well. And can I tell you, God's blessed me way more than I deserve. You say, preacher, what is that? I believe through my daddy's life, he brought the mercy of God upon me and my two brothers. Just think what you want. I believe he brought some blessings on their life. But here's what God said. You can't argue what God said. He said, I'm not going to have mercy on their children because they've turned to idolatry. Parent, you better think long and hard about that. Here's what I'm going to ask you. Are your children victims of you? Can our decisions affect our children? Where we go to church? Where we work? Where we choose to live? Can our decisions affect, can our parenting make a difference in the spiritual difference in the life of our children? Does it matter if we practice godly or ungodly parenting? Surely you believe. Surely you believe godly living, godly parenting makes a difference in the child's life. You have to believe that. Does it matter about your life, your spiritual life, if it's godly or ungodly? Does it matter if it's lukewarm or consecrated? As far as your children go, it matters. But does it affect your children? I believe this. Many godly homes, the children are victims of lukewarm Christianity. I just believe. I guess what I'm trying to say, this is serious business. This thing of putting God first and putting off them things that need to be put off and getting them things away from our heart that needs to be put away, my, it's serious business. And we're going to hear the message, and if we're not careful, we'll just say amen and go out the door and go down the road and live our lives like we always have. It's serious business. I believe this. You may get upset with me. I don't believe we have a child problem in America. I think we have a parent problem. I think we have a parent problem. And I think the problem is the parents are having loving relationships with everybody and everything but the Lord. I'm just getting started. I'm just going to quit right here. I don't know. For some reason, I've been heartbroken for families this week. I told those young families downstairs today, you're going to make the church. You're going to make the church what it is 10, 15 years from now. It's going to be you. If you're too busy for God, then we'll just be a church. It's too busy. If you're playing, we'll just be a playing church. If you're lukewarm, we'll just be a lukewarm church. But can I tell you, children, your grandchildren are going to be victims. They're going to be victims. And I know our motivation to do right shouldn't be the love for our children, but the love for God. But my, surely we love our children enough too that we would allow that to add to the love of God we have and do right. I want to ask you this morning, I'm through. I had 7-8 pages there, 6 or 7 anyway. And I'm just going to quit. There's some things you ought to get out of your life. Is there some things you need to put off, put away, get them out of your sight? Say something you're holding real close to your heart. You'd have to say this, preacher, it needs to go. It's real close to my heart, but it needs to go. The Lord said, because you wouldn't get it away from your heart, you wouldn't get them, put them things away from your sight, our relationship couldn't be restored. I'm not going to show mercy to the next generation. It's on you. I've given you the message this morning. Brother Allen, come to the piano. I tell you what, we won't have no singing, just playing, Sister King. I just want you to bow your heads. I want to ask you this morning, would you be honest with the Lord? If the Lord has spoke to your heart, would you do business with Him? Peace not.